The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and that the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, starting today, the readings for Mass shift. Okay, the readings for Mass begin to shift their focus. For the last 2 weeks, since Ash Wednesday, the readings for Mass have been about your penance, been about your reform, been about your turning away from sin, all the changes that you need to make. And it's held up Jesus as being your example and your teacher in all of this. Okay, beginning today, all that begins to change. And the focus is not so much on ourselves and what we need to do, but on Jesus and what he's done with his passion, his suffering, his death, coming to a crescendo on Good Friday. Okay, and if you keep your ears open, you'll hear the Old Testament readings prefigure this, as time and again, we're going to be presented with Old Testament characters whose suffering is a pre-echoing of that of Christ. Okay, you're going to hear the story of Joseph, sold into slavery in Egypt for 30 pieces of silver by his own brothers. You hear the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown to their deaths in the fiery furnace. But the death that was not the end, that God himself preserved them in spite of all hope to the contrary. You can hear the story of Susanna, the innocent woman who was unjustly put on trial for a crime she didn't commit, just like Christ our Lord. You're going to hear, just like you did today, from Jeremiah, my favorite prophet. Jeremiah, faithful all the way to the end, even though he never saw the good results of the work that he did. Okay. So the readings begin to change. Now, yesterday I told you about a paradox in your spiritual life. I said that the more you try to climb up to God by your own power, the further God flees away from you. But the more you acknowledge your own absolute weakness, the more God stoops down to lift you up. Paradox. Another paradox starting today. Okay? We expect, we hope, that God will conquer all the evil in the world, all the injustice, and all the hatred, and all the bloodshed, because God's almighty. And he can just do it with a wave of his mighty hand, right? But he doesn't do it that way. God conquers the evil in the world through what appears to be defeat. Through a man who's left to die at the hands of his enemies. Mocked, scourged, laughed at, spat upon, and left to die. Appears to be a defeat. in every human terms. And yet we know this is the way God conquers. Now, Jesus says to you, will you join me in fighting this victory? You want to conquer the evil in your own self? You want to conquer the evil in the world? Join me on the cross. And we say, why, Lord, why? Why does it have to be that way? Why can't you conquer with your mighty fist, right? You want to know why it has to be that way? Because you know what conquers evil in the world? Love is the only power that conquers evil in the world. Love is the only power that destroys the power of hatred. But when love meets with evil, love suffers. Because it will not compromise itself. That's why Jesus conquers by means of a cross. We want to join with him in that. We have to learn to change our thinking. So we think that God's going to conquer by a parliament or a congress or a king or a president or a court order. He's going to conquer by very little willing souls who join him in his suffering and death. And this takes us a very important leap of faith. We have to remember our Lord's presence. It's the only way to do it. We're very much like the apostles here. You know, like the mother of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. Command that my sons sit one at your right and the other at your left. You know what they were expecting? They were expecting a Messiah who would rule the world from Jerusalem in a worldwide theocracy. And they figured, oh, this is the Messiah. Let's get in on the ground floor. We can get in right now. We can be his vice regents, one at his right and the other at his left. And our Lord says, I very much want you to reign with me, but it's not going to be the way you think. It's going to be suffering with me on the cross. Now, here's what our Lord asks us to focus on. Not on ourselves, but on him. It's the only way you can bear the cross, keeping your focus on the Lord. You notice that's why Jesus says to James and John, not will you drink the cup of bitter suffering and will you drink it all the way to the end? He says no. He says, will you drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? Keeping our focus on the Lord is the only way. Unbelievers are always wondering what's going to happen to me and why doesn't God fix things? We want to turn that around. We want to realize that we can face anything if the Lord is with us. And that's why our Lord invites us to be with him. Okay, so the readings for Mass begin to shift here in Lent. Let's begin to shift with them, away from ourselves and on to the Lord, because together with him, there's nothing that we cannot bear. Amen.